Blog Talk Radio.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long.
Welcome, 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 beautiful black people. How are y'all doing today? This is Sister Yah. Welcome to the Sankofa Repet Podcast. I am your host today. I am looking forward to a great show, and I hope you all are there listening and following us and checking out. We have a great guest today. Before we bring our guest on, I would like to just a few house cleaning matters. I would like for you all, if you haven't already, to visit the Sankofa Repet website, sankofarepet.com. Also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program is a nonprofit organization whereby we seek to act as an incubator to get our people in the diaspora who are in the diaspora as a result of the transatlantic slave trade, whether you are in the UK, North America, South America, or the Caribbean. We want to get you back on the continent and established in businesses. We want to get our people back home and set them up in business for themselves so that they can become entrepreneurs reap the economic benefits that are coming, emerging on the African continent with the economic growth and emerging markets that are happening on the continent. So who better should reap the benefits of that growth than the children of Africa? So we have a very special guest today, Brother Kofi Lanaus. Kofi Lanaus is an African-American, but I think he prefers to be just referred to as an African academic scholar and filmmaker. His works have appeared in journals such as the Journal of Negro Education, the Journal of Pan-African Studies, and the Sankofa Journal. He's co-authored a children's book entitled Freedom, The Untold Story of Binko's Bioho, Bioho, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and World's First Maroons. This brother travels to Maroon communities and do studies, and study them, talk to them, learn from them how they've been able to maintain their African culture, and traditions, identity, and language after centuries of being removed from the continent of Africa. It's a beautiful thing. So he'll come on and talk to us about that. He's co-edited Personal Narratives of Black Educational Leaders, Pathway to Academic Success. He has also made his film debut as the co-executive producer and co-writer of a film, a documentary called Humanity, Culture, Community, and Maroonage. which was released in 2018. So Brother Kofi will be coming on. I'm going to go ahead and let him come on and just tell you a little bit about himself and the projects that he's currently working on. And we'll go from there. What I really want y'all to hear about and what I'm particularly interested in is what's happening with our people in Colombia. This brother spends a lot of time in Colombia with the Afro-Colombian. So we're going to get some good information from him, because how are we going to be Pan-Africans if we don't understand what our people are going through in different parts of the world? This is key to being Pan-African, being connected to our people. Right. So with that being said, I'm going to bring Brother Kofi on. Hello, Brother Kofi. Are you there?
Greetings, sister. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. How are you doing tonight?
All is well. I'm doing well. My family's well. So good night.
Great, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful to the Sankofa Repat podcast. Thank you so much for being our guest today. Welcome.
And thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, I did a little bit. I didn't go into, I don't think I hit everything. I want you to tell us about yourself, what you're working on or what you've done, and then talk to us about the Cot Institute. And then we'll get into your documentary that you did on the Maroons, and then the work you've been doing in Colombia. So with that being said, I'll let you take the floor and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a researcher, and currently, at least for the past 4 years, myself and also Dr. Kenneth Shockley, who's out of Howard University, have been doing work in Colombia, looking at Maroons in Colombia, as well as having conversations with Afro-Colombians to better understand what's going on there. One, capturing the history and the culture and what makes the Colombian Maroons so unique, and putting that on film and writing about it in academic publications as well as in children's books to preserve that history. And also... Mm-hmm. Bring people closer to some of the cultural aspects that may have been lost over time by other African populations. The Maroons really do serve as a very unique group who have been able to maintain some of those cultural elements and really give us a understanding of what would some of our experiences have been like if we hadn't lost that. The community that we visit is a very unique community. No crime, no divorce, no homelessness. They have strong relationships with their elders. They're seeking to maintain control of their school. So they have this element of warrior-like thinking that's rooted in an African worldview. So they do serve as a very unique and real example of things that we can recover. They say themselves that they're going through a cultural reconstruction, and they're moving closer to what it means for them to be an African. And my work, I've also started to look at relationships between those teachers in that school and the students, as well as what's happening with the community in the school, to make sure that the school is responsive to the needs of the community. And that is an ongoing battle, and it's a new area that I began to look at. Regarding the Cot Institute, that is a joint venture between myself and Dr. Kenneth Shockley, where we saw that there is a need to create not only film, which our film serves as one example of the types of resources that we create, but also other educational resources for African people. We believe that one of the things that we need to do as African people is make sure that we are coming to our people through film. It's the most popular medium, if not the most popular, one of the most popular mediums out there. And more people are more likely to turn on a television, turn to YouTube, jump on Netflix to receive information. So how do we start to tap into those same mediums and make sure that our people are receiving positive and accurate information about African people? So the Constitute is a joint venture to make sure that we are creating films and other educational resources to serve as one of the tools in the battle towards sovereignty, towards the ability to be self-determined. And and we just started to look at repatriation. So we'll be traveling to Ghana in 3 weeks. I know you'll be there. And we're going to start looking at what's happening around repatriation, a very important movement that's happening right now with African people across the world as we go home and start to rebuild. And as the Palenqueros are doing in Colombia, start to reconstruct that which is ours and use our own worldview and take control of our resources. So it's a very important movement happening right now with repatriation, and we're looking to capture that academically and in film, again, to serve as a resource for African people everywhere.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so you spent quite a bit of time in Colombia. So can you tell our listeners how you've been received by our Afro-Colombian brothers and sisters? You know, what is the reception when Black people from other parts of the world come there? How are they receiving us?
We're loved when we go to Colombia. In the early 2000s, the United Nations, as well as the World Bank, released a report saying that Colombia was approximately 30% African. And
wow.
In 2016, the Colombian government released a report saying Colombia was about 10% African. So the government is, I guess, 20% of the African people, or 20% of the population, actually, just disappeared. When you go to Colombia, it really is about one-third of the people nationwide are African. The part that I normally travel to is Cartagena, that area, which is the Caribbean area. And I'm comfortable saying about 50%, maybe even 60% of the people that I interact with and that I see are African. It is a African space. But of course, a lot of the media shows that Colombia is an Escobar-like country where the people look like a Pablo Escobar, where they don't look like us. And that's one of the dominant narratives coming out of that space. But in traveling there, and I've been traveling to Colombia for the past 13 years now, I made my first trip in 2007. And over that 13-year period, I've been in Colombia approximately, I want to say, about 16 times.
Wow.
So some years I travel twice. Most of the time I go once a year. And in that time, I've been very well received. The people say things like, "You are Black like me. You're my brother. We've been waiting for you. We have so much to share with you." They bring me into their homes and break bread with me and share the stories of our ancestors. They're sharing our story, and they tell me this is our story. I'm sure you have a different slice of our story, and I can't wait to hear about your experience. It's a very open space for African people, and they love when we come there, and they're able to recognize the type of mentality that people have when they come. So I've had Colombians say, "You have a different mentality than some of the other African people who come here. You want to learn. This isn't a space where you're coming to just vacation and use up."
Right.
"For your own benefit and then jump on a plane and leave. You're here trying to leave something behind. So because you have arrived different, we will treat you different." And it's a very interesting and humbling experience at the same time. But I encourage all African people to go, because it is a very welcoming space. And the more perspective that we bring, I think it provides more tools for them and their personal battle as they're currently fighting across the country to secure their land. They're fighting with the government to, I guess, what we would call more of like a civil rights issue. They're trying to get basic rights in the country. So
there's a lot of things happening.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, before we get in, segue into that, because I do want to talk about that, that's one of the reasons why I invited you on this show. I want our people to understand what's happening to our people over there and the dire. What you were telling me, the things we talked about, you know, it really, I told you, I called you the next day. I said, I can't stop thinking about it. It has me in tears, you know. But I wanted to tell you that my eldest son arrived in Cartagena last night.
Whoa.
He's going to be there for a week. So I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah. But, yes, I can put that on my list. For our listeners, that Brother Kofi told me that he believes 100% that the Afro-Colombians will be so receptive to the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Because, Kofi, I want to ask you something. Do they know that there are black people in America who deny that they're African and claim it every other thing other than African? Do they know that these people exist here in America?
The ones that speak to us do.
they do know that. What do they think about that?
When we share that, people are shocked because most people believe that African Americans are what they see on television. So they say things like, you all live in big homes. You all drive convertibles. You have pools in your backyard. You all are millionaires. You are Barack Obama, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Oprah Winfrey. You guys are those people, every last one of you. So how can you talk about people not loving themselves? How can you talk about poverty? That's impossible.
Right. Well, that's amazing. So tell me, before we get into what's happening to them, which is generally, I know it's the same thing our people are suffering wherever we find African people living under a system of racism and white supremacy and living in a system where they don't control the resources, they don't control the government. Everywhere we find out people, they're being oppressed. But let's talk a little bit. Let's go ahead and talk about what's happening. What's happening to them? Tell us about this fight they're having with the government on just basic human and civil rights.
So there is, in Colombia, similar to other spaces where our people were kidnapped and taken to, we're still facing very high levels of oppression, racism, and just all-out violence. And Colombia is no different. Across the country, you have Afro-Colombians who have made serious efforts, and I'm just going to call them Africans. These Africans have made serious efforts to secure their land. And really what they're doing is exercising a right that in law is a law 7093, which is a law that was passed by the government in 1993, which really was designed to assist Afro-Colombians in securing their land and also giving them certain protections under the law. Afro-Colombian people and African people recently have really looked to exercise that law and own their land. Now, that's pushing up against mining. There's a village called La Toma, as an example, and La Toma is a village in Colombia where the mining companies have come into the village and are looking to take over land for mining purposes, and the people have fought back, saying, this is our land. They've been met with a high level of violence because they're stopping industry.
Right.
That's one example. There are other examples across the country where African people are fighting against the government and against private industry to continue to own that land, land that, according to the law, is theirs. But those laws have not been implement it with fidelity, which is our story everywhere. You know, they pass laws, they write them on paper, but whether or not the law is actually implemented is a lot different. And
Kofi,
I
say this all the time, Brother Kofi. I'm sorry, I just want to say this. Nothing has changed. I don't understand why so many of our people are so comfortable. Because when I see these type of things, like what you're talking about, what's happening in the Amazon with the indigenous people who are fighting against the very same thing we saw here in America, even in Canada, where the indigenous people are fighting against industry, fighting against the government from taking their land rights, their water. These people are still encroaching, and nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing. Even here in America, where a lot of our people have gotten comfortable with themselves, we are still fighting some of the same things our grandparents were fighting for. They are still basically trying to commit voter suppression, you know, and keep black people. They're shutting down polls in states. They're closing polls. They're requiring people to have certain identification. These are the same things. Here we are in 2020, and black people are still indigenous people. Let's just say this. Indigenous people, no matter where they are still fighting with the West and with corporations and the descendants of the conquistadors. You know, these people are still doing the same thing their ancestors were doing 300-400 years ago. And I just don't understand the level of just complete oblivious. Our people are just, they go on their job, they work, you know, they get their check. That's all they care about. They want to watch football, Super Bowl. But the condition of our people and other indigenous people in the world has completely not changed. Only thing that's different is the only thing that they just don't have you, you know, in chains on the plantation. So you have this false sense of freedom, you know what I mean? But you're working on a job for somebody else, for to make somebody else rich, not for yourself, you know. And then unfortunately, they will tout one or two people who have money, like the Oprah Winfrey's and the ball players, those entertainers. And then they want to be like, okay, these people made it, so you none of you can complain. Well, guess what? They had rich people. They had free black people doing it, doing slavery, you know? so they, I mean, everybody, you know, wasn't a slave. They had free black people. They even had black people that owned slaves during slavery. It didn't change the condition for the masses of people, you know? So... I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent, but yeah, you were talking about them fighting for land that has been declared theirs, rightfully theirs, which is, like I just wanted to point out, this is happening all over. This is happening everywhere you find indigenous people battle for their land, even for the little bit of land they've been able to hold on to. It's still ongoing.
It's still ongoing. And unfortunately for a lot of Africans in Colombia, this battle is leading to their execution. I don't want to call it a murder, because these people are being executed. They're being assassinated. They're being shot in the head, having their heads literally chopped off their bodies, and their bodies and heads being dumped in two different places. And the United Nations is so bad there that the United Nations has called for the government of Colombia to provide special protection for these African groups. You had a expert from the UN, I believe his name was Ricardo Sanga, and he spoke about Afro-Colombian leaders facing repeated death threats just because they're trying to hold on and protect their ancestral land that they have rights to. But yet this land is being exploited by larger companies, and the government has done little to protect these people. In 2019, the UN released a report where they spoke about 107 activists. These are African people like us, activists in Colombia, killed. In that year, and those numbers have continued to rise. They saw a 50% increase in the killing of female human rights defenders between 2018 and 2019. So this past year at the Geneva Convention, you had individuals speaking out on the dire situation for African people in Colombia and the need for the world to do something. Because there's been little done to protect these groups. So this is a what I would call a vicious cycle. 2020 is going to be a very violent year because we know ourselves. We will continue to fight. That is who we are. We are not going to allow ourselves to just be taken over and our land to be taken and for our children to have no future. So if 2018 was a violent year and there was an escalation in violence in 2019, I would think that that trend would continue as we continue to fight against those who would try to re-enslave us economically, try to re-enslave us physically, try to re-enslave us mentally. And you have Africans in Colombia who have a strong sense of identity and are willing to fight.
Right. So that's beautiful. Well, I'm glad to hear that because
we need to.
Oh, I don't see a lot of Black Americans ready to fight. I don't. They are comfortable. You know what I mean? Honestly, I love my people, but I'm just saying, let me give you an example. And I don't want to get off subject, but I'm going to give you an example. Have you heard about what's happening in Mississippi? That's my home state, in the prison, and the Black men that are coming up dead like every couple of days in the prisons and the conditions. Have you heard about all of that?
Yes, and I was born in Jackson, Mississippi. That's my home state too.
Oh, okay. Well, then we are homies for real. I was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi, just down the road a bit from Memphis, Tennessee. But yeah, so my home state, and this what's happening? The Parchman Prison is the one that really got the big attention because there was a brother inside. You know, sometimes these inmates get these cell phones, and there was a brother inside that recorded. And I'm talking about appalling, absolutely appalling, inhumane living conditions. Another thing that just really brought me to tears, and it got Jay-Z and what's the brother? Oh, I don't want to mess his name up. Another one of the rappers, they filed suit against the state, against the governor. Okay, but anyway, these brothers are still coming up dead. So I went on to my family Facebook. I have a family Facebook page because I'm a little bit too radical and too Pan-African Black nationalist for a lot of my family and friends from my hometown, Mississippi. They don't understand me, right? So I went on and I said, we got to have our voices heard. Let's just bum rush the governor's governor's mansion with letters, with emails, with phone calls, the warden of the prison, you know, our mayors. Let's let them know that this is unacceptable, that we do not accept this, that they have to do something. And for 2 days I posted it, and do you know not one. I'm ashamed to say this, but I got to say it because it has to be said because I don't know what's wrong with our people. Not one person in my hometown. And I'm knowing these people have to have somebody in this prison. You know what I'm saying? You have to have one. Yeah. And not one person said to me, "All right, Tanya, I'm with you. Let's do it. I got you." And that made me cry because I was like, what's wrong with you people? You know what I mean? How can you all just turn a blind eye? It makes me think about when a lot of our people would say things like, "Oh, well, if I had been, they wouldn't have did this to me if I lived doing slavery. Or if I lived in doing Jim Crow, I would have done this. They wouldn't have did this and that to me." And I'm like, no. If you're not doing anything now, because our people are still suffering now, like while you're alive, and you're not doing anything, and at this point, it doesn't even take you, doing a Nat Turner or anything. You can write your congressman. You know, you can go in front of the governor's mansion and pick it. You can do things to get their attention and let them. But our people are not doing anything. I don't understand that.
I hear you, sister. And I believe that it comes from what's going on with our youth. And I'll give you an example. I was observing a teacher, a sister that I respect, brilliant teacher. And she was talking to some of our young Africans about what's going on in South Africa and about the South Africans taking back their land, and how in this fight, our people are taking what was taken from us. And she's showing videos and talking, and the children keep saying they. Those people, the people in South Africa. And she's just sitting there listening to them, and she's growing frustrated with our young people. And she stops them and says, at what point do you start to call the South Africans?
Mm-hmm.
It's not they. It's not
mm-hmm.
the South Africans. It's not them. That's us. Who you are seeing
right.
in the video is us.
Right.
But how often do young people have someone in front of them who understands our situation in that way, to where they can remove that veil and create that bridge to where you see that that is your sister, that is your brother, that is you in that
mm-hmm.
video, that's you in South Africa, that's you in Colombia, that's you in Mississippi. But the work that's done to us very early on is that it becomes a them. They're in jail.
Uh-huh.
And helping our people see that that is actually us. We're all in prison. And eventually it will come for you
exactly.
and for people
Thank
close
you.
To you.
Thank you.
So it becomes a
Thank
very,
you.
A very, I'm an educator, so I just see it. And having those conversations with young people, a lot of times it's their first time having that conversation. And I wonder if I don't have it, or if in this case the sister didn't have it, or other brothers and sisters that I've seen have it with young people, will they ever have that conversation, or will they end up 25 years old saying them, those people, those Africans, those Afro-Colombians, those Brazilians, feeling like that is just something that they're disconnected from, as opposed
yeah.
to understanding that you are intricately connected to their story.
Exactly. If black people, black people have to be okay. Black people have to be free. Black people have to be doing okay everywhere. And I talk about this
okay.
all the time, that you can't just say because I'm okay or my immediate family is okay, it doesn't matter what, we are part of a group. And this is the same thing Dr. Claude Anderson has been trying to get black people to understand. Everybody move with their group. We can't just, and if our group is not doing well overall, then eventually it's going to affect you and your family. So you can't not care about our group. And this has been my message. I don't know. I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to keep saying it. And hopefully our people begin to get it. I know some of our people get it, but far too many of our people do not get it. You know, even, you know, on the continent of Africa, we still have that type of tribal mentality that, well, you know, my tribe is okay. You know, that's not happening to us. You know what I'm saying? Or, yeah, like you're saying, those Nigerians over there, that Boko Haram is, you know, that's over there in Nigeria. Well, guess what? If somebody don't stop them, that is going to spread out and go, you know, it could end up in Benin. It could end up in, you know, Burkina Faso or Ghana, you know. So we have to care about what happens to our people no matter where they are. And, you know, I'm just so glad that you said that, because that's the same thing that I've been saying. So what do we do to help spread awareness about what's happening to our brothers and sisters in in Colombia? What do we do? Is there anything we can do to help them?
I think one of the things that people can do is share the documentary that we made for Humanity, Culture, Community, and Maroonage, where we take you into the Palenquero village. And the reason why that's so important is because the film shows that many of the solutions to our own situations are inside of African village and inside of people who are still using the culture. And I think in seeing those solutions, it draws you closer to the people and wondering what's happening with their life. And how can I learn more? And as you seek to learn, you will start to uncover their story. The reason why I think it's important to see a film like the film we created is because it removes that idea that we were just talking about. It removes the idea that those are those people. They become your people.
Right.
And that you start to realize that your people have the solutions for you. We can be self-determined. There is agency. There is such thing as African agency. And this is what African agency looks like and how it manifests. And then the fact that our culture provides the solutions. So I think that one of the things we can do to raise awareness is to tell the story that's happening there. Not only the story in terms of us being executed, but also the story of us being who we are, which are African people, and our strength as an African family. So the film shows our strength and shows the positivity around what it means to be an African living in Colombia. And as people start to study more of those stories, we'll get the positive and we'll get the negative. And we'll start to have a better picture of what is happening there and the things that we can do. I also think that one of the things that can happen to spread that information is that we can really start to look at Colombia as an Afro space and realize that that's our story. There's not much difference between what they're experiencing here and what we're experiencing here and what they're experiencing there. So if we can just say, their story is our story. We automatically can know they're suffering from police brutality. There's systematic racism, it's also known as white supremacy, and they're controlled in all areas of people activity. They are having the same experience we are having here, and the same efforts need to be made for them that need to be made for us. And then what happens is that them and us starts to be removed. And we can just say, we are struggling in Colombia, and we require the same effort there as we require here. So start to watch our film and go from there.
How do people get the film?
The film, we actually made the film available for everyone on YouTube for free because we felt like it was such a powerful tool, we had to get it to the people. So it's available to everyone on YouTube, no cost. Just watch it, and the solutions are very real. They offer things that we can, after the film ends, even while the film is playing, things you can do in your life to start improving your situation and start to move closer to what it means to be an African. And I just say that because rarely – this is the first village I've ever been to that does not have a police, but yet they have no violence.
Right. That's amazing. I love that.
they say
says a lot. That says a lot. But you know, but
and
my
they just
husband
say that people don't talk. That's what leads to all of your problems is that you are not using discourse to solve issues. Any issue, when spoken about correctly and using the wisdom of the elders, can be solved through dialogue. It's only when you think that it can't be solved or there's a better solution than talking it out that you end up having more problems.
That
dialogue solves everything.
That's a very African way of handling disputes, because talking to my husband, my husband's from Ghana, he grew up in the village. He didn't move into city, so he got that real, real African culture, history, everything, you know, growing up in the village. And he would tell me that, you know, when he was small, everybody was free. You can move around, do whatever. If there's any dispute, mm-hmm. any problem comes up, then they have a meeting. The families come together on both sides, the elders come together, and they squash it. They figure out a way, okay, even if the person has to make some type of restitution, okay, then when that's done, the issue is over. It's done. And, it, you know, if you do something too bad, they banish you, you know, something that's reprehensible, then what they do is you got to go. You can't stay here, you know. And, you know, mm-hmm. that alone, yeah, that and that's rough, because where are you going to go? Because who you are, people are going to ask what family you come from, your family's reputation. You know, everybody is concerned about what they do, how it affects the family, the whole group. So everybody's very mindful of doing good and being a decent human being, because they don't want to shame their family. I tell people all the time, everybody keep trying to put down shame. Sometimes shame can be a good thing. You need to be ashamed of some things so that you don't do it, you know. But now there's mm-hmm. no shame anymore in the world. It's like you can do whatever you want now. And if anybody says anything about it, they rather shame the person that's trying to tell you the right thing to do. And, you know, who are you to tell them that they can't do this? Or who are you to say,
oh, yeah,
that
you become
a
hater.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that what you're saying to me rings very similar to what my husband told me about how things were when he was a young boy growing up in the village. Let me ask you this. How, from your perspective, how will they feel about repatriating? How do they feel about Africa?
Oh, I it's home. I was talking to some African people there last month, and their dream, they told my dream is to go home. My dream is to go back to Africa. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I want to go back in my lifetime. They talk about, the Africans in Palenque come from the Luangwa people of Angola. And one of the things that they talk about is going back to Angola and being among the people. We want to go back to the Luangwa and show them how much we've made, how much we've been able to maintain. And we want to integrate back into our tribe. They offer also that they want to go and see and be able to measure, in a sense, everything that they've kept and compare it to the culture that's there. Mm-hmm. And then bring what's similar and what's different back to their people in Palenque. So that they can continue to culturally reattach and to reconstruct that culture in Colombia, because they, in their minds, not everybody is going to move back, and it's possible not everybody wants to move back, but there's a large group of people who want to repatriate. There's a large group who wants to visit the continent, learn as much as possible, and bring it back to the people. But everyone that I've met there has an interest in going home. And that's whether
beautiful.
I'm in Palenque, that's if I'm in Bogota, which is across the country, that's if I'm in Cartagena, which is still Caribbean, Barranquilla, which is still Caribbean. The people are talking about going home. And that's just something that they want.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful situation when you love that which you come from.
Yeah, and you can have pride. You're not walking around ashamed. And this, you know, I have said, and I can't say this enough, the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, that's what we want to do, guys. We want anybody who wants to go home. I know we can't take everybody. I wish I could. I mean, really. I feel like, you know, if I could just pick all our people up and take them to Africa and you know, get them okay and safe and away from the conditions, I would do it. You know what I mean? I created this program because I feel like if we love each other, if we work together and love each other, there's nothing that we cannot do. We can help change the lives of so many of our brothers and sisters, not just here in America, but in where our people are suffering. And remember when I told you guys about Sankofa being a bridge, that's what I want. So if we can move a number of our brothers and sisters out of Colombia and get them set up on the continent of Africa, and get businesses started, guess what? Now they can be in a position to reach back and help other brothers and sisters. They can transfer that information that Brother Kofi is talking about back and forth. They can be on the ground. They will be able to free themselves economically, as well as bring other people and help. This is what other races do. Other people do this all the time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? This is not anything novel. What Sankofa Repat is doing is saying, guess what? This is what all these other people are doing, so let us do it too. That's it. So, and I just feel so, you know, when I hear these stories about how our people in Brazil are just, you know, man, in that Colombia and wherever we are and how we're just catching it. It just makes me so sad. And I want our people to get involved. I can spread the word, but I'm one voice. I have a lot of people helping me. I've been saying this over and over again. A lot of people come to me all the time. What can we do to help? The biggest thing you can do to help is donate and then tell other people to donate. Word of mouth works. Okay. Marcus Garvey was able to get 15 million people to donate and be a part of the UNIAACL, and he didn't have the internet. Now we have the internet. We got all types of social media platforms, all these things that we have. We can connect with our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. There's no reason now for us not to. We should be stronger now as a race than we were before we had planes to move from one point to the other and in telephone and internet. We should be closer and tighter and stronger now, actually, when you think about it, you know, because we can reach each other. We can pick up the phone. We can, you know, I got people calling me from all over the world on Facebook Messenger now, you know, so we can, there's no reason why we can't unite as one race, one people. Y'all have to understand, and Claude Anderson said this, racism is a race. It's literally a race. And it's a team sport. And we as African people have to recognize that we all on the same team and work together. So I know I'm going off on a tangent. I just get so passionate about this because I just want my people to get it, you know? I just want them to get it. So,
hey, it sounds good. It needs to be said more often, just like that.
Oh, Brother Kofi, will you be attending the Sankofa Repat African Cultural Gala and Expo?
I will.
You will, because you're going to be documenting it. So, for those who don't know, the Kai Institute and Sankofa Repat have come to an agreement that they're going to be our documentarians for this movement. Tell us, Brother Kofi, just tell them in your own words, how do you think this documentary we're doing on this movement would be a benefit to our people?
Well, that's an interesting question, because as Brother Kimmon and I were talking about what this movement means and how it benefits the people, and it really is epic. This is an epic movement that generations will look back on and say that was a moment in time that created what we're living in the present. Mm. And it's one of the things that is always beautiful to capture is the actual agency that it takes on the individual and group level to make something like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are enormous amounts of energy. There are numerous people who all have to come together. As you said, this is a race, and it's about group. So there's a group that's coming together and using what the ancestors have given them, which is that sense of self-determination, agency, ideas, the things that come to us in our dreams, the things that are just intuitive that really can be captured on film to help young people and future generations understand the type of effort that was necessary for us to take the step that is repatriation.
Right.
When we think about the Cabrals and the Nkrumahs and the Sekou Torés, and when those names are mentioned, the Lumumbas, one of the things that I think people wish is that there was more video about what was happening during the day-to-day so that they could mimic those behaviors. Capturing things that are happening, you're also capturing the behaviors so people can mimic them. What does this look like? What are the people actually talking about? How are they thinking about what needs to happen next? Because in that, that's that critical thinking piece. A lot of people, you talked about technology and conversations. What type of conversations need to be captured so that this movement becomes a movement that can happen on a personal level too? And that's one of the things that we will capture in film, is this very unique story of the people, this very unique story of people coming together to make something larger happen for African people everywhere. So how do we tell our story becomes a very unique way of capturing the moment and isolating those moments in time for future generations. I went around in a circle on purpose because when we're talking about what is African cinema and what is an African story, what we're really doing is capturing what our ancestors are unveiling to us as time passes. So that is one of the things that will be beautiful about the film and will be beautiful about what we're capturing, is that we're going to capture what the ancestors are showing us in those moments, which will become that African story. A lot of times when I watch documentaries, I say to myself, what story are they telling? That's what the ancestors wanted. The ancestors didn't want them to tell that story. They weren't listening. They set out and said, this is the story we're going to tell. And there's nothing that can change this story. And what happens with film, I know this from our film, is that you have those what we call topical trajectories that start to unveil themselves, and you follow those because that's the story that the ancestors are showing you in the moment. And then when it comes back to editing that film, you have something that changes the people because the ancestors said, just follow us, we got you.
I know
that was a story, but just follow us. We got something to show you. And that's what makes African film unique, is that we're able to let the ancestors guide us and let the ancestors show us what the real story is. So we have an idea of the story that needs to be told, but there's also a story that the ancestors are going to show us throughout this process. And that's going to be the story that they say, this is what the people also need. So it will be a beautiful experience. Looking forward to going through this experience with you. Always look forward to doing things with my with the co-producer and co-creator of The Constitute, Brother Kenneth Shockley. He and I have done a lot of wonderful projects together, and we look forward to making this movement something that is a product for the people and can be used as a resource for the people as we start to repatriate and determine our own future.
Absolutely, Ashe, Ashe. You're right, brother, and I'll tell you something. This is something I tell people from the beginning. I believe this is something that the ancestors wanted me to do because I just could not, you know how you get this feeling, you get a thought, and you know, put it out of your head, and you're like, no, I can't do that. And that's what I kept telling myself. I'm like, that's going to be too big. I can't do that. It's too much. I can't do that. But it was like, it was just wouldn't go away. It was like, you have to do it. It was a voice saying, you have to, you know, like, you don't have a choice. You have to do it, because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? We can't sit around waiting for somebody else to do it. You have to do it. And I mm-hmm. believe that was the voice of the ancestors, and had so many beautiful people, wonderful brothers and sisters like yourself and others who have come and say, you know what, we want to be a part of this. This is something powerful, and we want to help you make it happen. And I'm just so appreciative of all of you who have, you know, said, yeah, we got you on this. We're going to make it happen. So if anybody wants to, we are also looking for people to donate. If you want to sponsor, help, get in touch with me at admin@sankofarepat.com. If you want to donate some funds, we're trying to raise the money for the film, for the documentary. So contact me if you want to, you know, contribute to that. So, brother, I think I want to give you an opportunity to say whatever you want to say in closing. Before we close out the show, and we'll talk a little bit before I let you go. I'll let people know about our event that's coming up May 16th, May 17th, and our next guest next week, Tuesday. Do you have anything you would like to say in closing, brother?
Yes. One, thank you, Sante Sana, for allowing me to have this wonderful conversation with you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you any and all times. This one happens to be recorded and can serve as a resource for the people, which is beautiful. I also want to just share with the people, please visit us on Facebook at the KKA Institute. And you can look at some of the projects that we have going. We are taking a group to Colombia this summer. If people are interested in traveling to Colombia, we're doing a African history tour, Afro history and culture tour in the Caribbean side. That's that Cartagena part of Colombia, where we're going to be connecting with African historians, visiting African sites, and talking to African people about what it means to be an African in Colombia, and looking at our history and talking about where do we go as a people. So that conversation we were talking about earlier, how do we start to impact Colombia? We want to take our people there to talk with our people there to mm-hmm. talk about what our future looks like.
Right.
So please visit us, and you can get more information about that tour. And check out the film and let us know what you think. We're always available. And very importantly, donate and support the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. This is what is happening. People are going back. We are going back. And as we do this, we start to move into that realm where Africa will be ours permanently, and our children
yes.
will have a home that
yes.
They really get to decide what that future looks like for that state.
Ashe, Ashe. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And the name of the film again, family, is you can go look for it on YouTube. It's For Humanity, Culture, Community, and Maroonage. Okay. So y'all go check that out. Thank you so much, brother. We'll be in touch. Of course, you and I will be in touch. Thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us this information about our people in Colombia and what they're going through. We thank you. We appreciate you. And hopefully you come back on again soon. Oh, and for the people who don't know, I've been invited to join our brother on that trip this summer to talk to our people about the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program in Colombia.
And she accepted. She said, I've been invited. She accepted.
Yeah.
So she'll be in Colombia this summer.
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, brother.
Yes, sister, I will talk to you soon, and just thank you for the work, and may the ancestors continue to bless you.
Thank you, thank you. You have a good evening. Give me regards to your wife.
I will.
All right, bye-bye. All right, family. I hope you found that show informative, enlightening, educational. Check out that film, For Humanity, Culture, Community, and Maroonage. You have to pay attention to what's happening to our people. Don't be in a bubble. Don't just be focused on, you know, just here in America or just your immediate family. Okay, we have to think about our group. I cannot say that enough. Our group, our whole group is what's happening to our people, no matter where they are, should be important to you, and we have to speak out about it. I know you can't go down to Colombia, quit your job and go down to Colombia and fight, but you know what? You can bring awareness. You can write to the United Nations. You can do something to let people know, hey, we see what you guys are doing, and we don't like it. You know what I mean? Bring it out to the forefront of the world. So that's what we got to do. And I want you all to get your tickets. We have the early bird price right now. Get your tickets, guys, for the African Sankofa Repat African Cultural Gala and Expo on May 16th and May 17th. Go to our website. When you go to the SankofaRepat.com, there's a tab there that says event. You can go there. You can get the tickets. It'll link you straight to Eventbrite, or you can go straight to Eventbrite. Get the early bird price. Don't wait till the last minute and let the tickets go up on you. Get your tickets now. Secure your space. We only got space for so many people. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be a great time. For those who want to get your Sankofa Repat T-shirt, we're going to be taking group pictures. We're going to, on the Sunday, the day of the gala, that morning, a bunch of us are going to get together and wear our T-shirts and go to the African American History Museum. And we're going to go in there. If you haven't been to there, we're going to do a group trip in there. I think that's going to be powerful. If you've never been there, I definitely recommend you go. And then, so just guys, get your tickets. The tickets, it's fundraising, but we're going to have fun. We're going to have a great time. Going to be vendors, special guest speakers, which one of our guest speakers at the event is also going to be doing an interview this coming Tuesday, the 25th, which is Nana Obakesi from Asabu traditional area, which is called Cape Coast, but they call it Asabu. And he's going to be talking about, I'm not going to tell y'all now, but it's about that. I'm not going to tell y'all the surprise that you got to be in the house for those 2 days on May 16th and May 17th. We got some powerful, but I'm not going to tell y'all about it. I'm going to wait for him to come on the show Tuesday, February 25th. So y'all don't want to miss that. How you can get your they got 5,000 acres of land. They're calling it the Pan-African Village Project, Asabu Pan-African Village Project. They're literally giving away free land, guys, 5,000 acres to be developed for our people. So definitely come on and check it out. I got a call coming in. Wow, let me see who this is. All the way from Ghana. Let's see. Greetings. Hello.
Greetings.
Sister. Oh, how you doing? Hey, sis, how you doing?
All right. Good. It's been a magnificent information flowing through the Sankofa Repat podcast. I'm really, I've been listening since the first one. I think this is a fuel for the movement, and I'm just excited just from all the connections and the information that is flowing, even from, you know, just from different people that is contacted and linking from all over the world for this big movement. So you are on a roll. This thing is rolling, and the people are in demand of it. And it's just really working out, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it, to, you know, just to know that I can, whatever input, whatever I want to do to enhance it, and that is, you know, that is available to do so. I'm just waiting and willing and available, for real.
What, sister, you jumped on and were so excited, you didn't even tell people your name and where you were calling in from.
Yeah, I did. This is Azabasha, also known as Future. I was on the show a couple of nights ago, and just talking from the ground. I'm on location in Ghana, so to speak. So anybody that is listening, yeah, I'm on location, and I'm like the eyes on the ground and ears for things that's going on with the diaspora, and as well as killing all the negative stereotypes about Africa through diasporan eyes. So that's what I've been doing. As a you know, some food, a nutrition for the mental, for our people, because we've been fed so many lies down through the years. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Sister Future been posting some videos. Y'all can check them out. Just tell them your YouTube channel. So I saw the one that you posted with the kids with that good, delicious vegetarian food. Guys, there are plenty good, delicious vegetarian spots in Ghana. I know a lot of people just...
They're growing. They really are growing.
Yes. And more and more people are opening up. So what's the name of your channel, sis?
Is Living My Best Life space, and then is Living My Best, and then a space, Life in Ghana. And you can check us out on YouTube. We're also on Instagram, but we post up so many videos of simple simplicity of things that people need to see to kill the negative and evil stereotypes that have been pushed upon us because people want to colonize and exploit our people. So that's what we're doing. We're doing it in the most simple way through visual documentation, just everyday life that we live when we're here living best life on the continent.
Let me ask you this. How do we light a fire under our people to see the need to support this program? Because, you know, listen, You saw a couple months ago how our people act a whole complete fool over Popeye's chicken. It went completely viral.
Yes.
People, they cut up and cut up about a damn chicken sandwich.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now this is something that we're saying is going to free our people. You know, it is going to free our people and get them back home. And create that bridge to bring more and more people home and get us out of the situations that the brother Kofi was talking about happening down with our people in Colombia. And, you know, we get so many people coming to the website and they're sending me messages and they're thanking me and saying, you know what, Sister Yah, thank you so much. I never thought I was going to be able to go to Africa, but now because of the program, I feel like there's hope. I feel like there's hope. And those emails that I get every day, guys, that people are talking about, you know, how they're feeling depressed, they're feeling overwhelmed, they're tired, they don't want to be here anymore, they want to go home. The same way Brother Kofi was saying about our brothers and sisters over in Colombia that are saying they know Africa is their home and they want to go home. So how do we light a fire, sis, under our people? To make this thing go viral and for them to see the importance of it and to support it, what do you suggest?
My suggestion is you have to make it trendy because we are in the generation of social media has really taken a toll about the way that we do things and prioritize our life. Unfortunately, we have to take a lot of the negative viral issues and turn them into positives for the movement, for the repatriation, for the Sankofa repatriation program. For instance, around the time when they were doing the Popeye's chicken, you know, unfortunately it went viral, true enough, but Popeye's chicken was trending on YouTube. So we probably would have had to do something like a campaign advertise and also put Popeye for Ghana or Popeye for Africa or something that, you know what I'm saying, that will really grab people's attention but turn the focus into something positive that we really need to connect. So everything will have to be done in that manner in order to get people's attention, because we are so bombarded with the worst, and the lowest of the low information. Activity. You know, we have been bombarded with the regular way of life, with the Super Bowl, with in the NBA. You know, even it doesn't benefit us at all. But these are the things that distract us and consume us heavily. So it's like we have to piggyback off of these things that are negatively impacting us and turn them into a positive. So we will have to come together and really create these type of instances where we can really take advantage of the moment, seize the moment and the time, and push forward the agenda of Sankofa Repatriation Program.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
that's what I see.
I agree, sister. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, staying up late all the way over there in Ghana just to check out our show. We appreciate you.
Gary, it's a weekend, baby. You know what I'm saying? And I have not been able to completely switch over the time as far as my time clock that's going on inside of my body. So I'm not being able to click over all the way. So I'm up some late mornings. And it's also my son's Earth Strong. He's turning 32 today. So I just finished talking with him, you know, and boosting him up for his Earth Strong. They're getting out to celebrate it in the States this evening. So we already in his Earth Strong and his solar return. So I just went on and brought it in for him right quick.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. Yes, my eldest, I was just telling the brother, my eldest son is down in Colombia as we speak. He just arrived last night.
What?
Yeah. Octavius is down there, girl.
Gone, Octavius.
I can't wait to see
awesome.
The pictures. You know, I'm going to share them with everybody on Facebook. And so, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for him to send his mama some pictures.
Right. You know he got to do it.
Yeah,
it's exciting. So just keep, you know, it's consistency, and this is a protracted war that we have going on, and it's going to take sustainability and consistency to make sure it gets to the level where you just like, oh my God, it's finally blown up, it's finally taking its course and everything. So be encouraged and stay positive, and if you're feeling some type of way, just give me a call, because you know
All right, sister. Thank you so much for calling me. Okay.
No problem. All right.
Peace. All right, family. We're going to go ahead and close out the show. SankofaRepat.com. If you have not become a donor yet on our Patreon, go ahead and do so. Sign up for as little as $1 a month. Tell everybody you know to support this for as little as $1 a month. If you want to donate more per month, beautiful, wonderful. We have plenty of people that's doing that, but you don't have to. We're only asking for $1 a month. We have PayPal. If you don't want to do a monthly thing, but you just want to send a lump sum, we have people that are doing that. You can send it to Sankofa Repatriation Assistance P. All one word together. Sankofa Repatriation Assistance and the letter P at the end at gmail.com. Sankofa Repatriation Assistance P at gmail.com. That's our PayPal. Okay. Again, get your tickets on Eventbrite. Get your tickets. Do not wait for the last minute. Early bird price is going on right now. Do not let that, you know, that the increase in the price catch you. You don't want to miss this. You definitely don't want to miss it. And without me spilling the beans, you don't want to miss it if you want some of that free land in Ghana. Get your tickets so you can be there. Okay? All right. Great show. Thank you for tuning in. I love you guys. Take care, and I will see you all Tuesday, same time, same station, February 25th. We're going to have Nana Obakese from the Asabu traditional area, talking about the Asabu Pan-African Village and that 5,000 acres of land. I know y'all want to hear about that, so take care. Love you guys. Peace.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long.